At the apex of the pyramid, Doris Gitte One stood barefoot on the sun-warm flagstones of the observation deck. The Imperials had figured out that the Jedi Knights were no longer at the Temple of the Blue Leaf Cluster, and now that the trainees had gathered on the tallest temple, Pelion's attackers would soon direct their strike there. Doris Gitte One tilted his smooth face up to the sky and held his hands at his sides, fingers spread. He calmed himself, reaching within him for threads that he could spin together with the others. All the other Jedi trainees also focused their abilities. He reached upward with his hands, picturing the Star Destroyers in orbit. He found them, touched them with his mind. They were huge, greater in mass than he had imagined. But he used the Force to push. But the ships proved immovable, too large. He pushed again, straining harder. The Star Destroyers moved slightly, bucking and resisting, but it was still not enough. Doris Gitte One exerted his mind to the breaking point. He reached all the way into the depths of the Force that the 30 gathered Jedi Knights had opened for him.
Move!
He shouted. The word itself was like white-hot energy flaming out of his mouth, from his fingertips, surging through his body and burning. The inside of his head went bright like a star going supernova, and his consciousness rode along with the tidal wave of Force. He felt it strike the 17 Star Destroyers, and they slammed backwards like twigs in a tornado. The shockwave flung the entire fleet far out beyond the fringes of the Yavin system. Pelion's fleet of Star Destroyers went away. And Doris Gitte One went with them, but to a different, unknown destination.
Doris Gitte One, Kip said, looking down in horror at his friend, whose skin was sizzling as if the tissues had been brought to a boil.
Wait, we'll find a healer.
But Doris Gitte One was already dead in his arms. In the second wave of the assault on the Jedi stronghold, Admiral Dalla's Black Knight Hammer arrived, an opaque wedge 8 kilometers long, silhouetted like a knife blade against the pale orange sphere of Yavin. She had expected to find Pelion virtually finished with his attack, so she could lord over the mopping-up operations and watch the final destruction of the Jedi Knights. But as the Knight Hammer sliced through space, she saw no sign of Pelion's fleet and felt her enthusiasm crumble.
"Where is he?" Dalla demanded. "Open a channel. Find Pelion."
"He was here, Admiral," the tactical officer said. "The jammer satellite net is in place. Ground assault troops have been deployed. But the Star Destroyers are no longer here."
"Recall all TIE pilots and TIE bombers. Have them return to full alert, back in their crew quarters. I won't be launching their ships just yet."
She wanted to waste no time.
"Do we have plans for an attack, Admiral?" the weapons chief said from his station.
"Yes. We strike from orbit. All turbo laser batteries, full strength. Fire at will, down into the jungle."
As lances of brilliant energy shot down to the placid surface of the small moon below, Dalla slammed her gloved fist into the bridge rail with each shot as if she could add to the destructive potential of the blast. General Crix Medine stood bravely, staring into the large eyes of Durga the Hutt. He said nothing for a moment as he thought back on his years of service to the New Republic. He had had a good run, had helped the New Republic grow strong, and now he had followed his duty to the end. He decided not to give Durga the satisfaction of begging for his life, and Durga didn't give him the opportunity. The Hutt pointed the blaster he had grabbed from General Sulemar at Medine and fiddled with the controls until he figured out how to set the weapon to kill.
"Any last words?" Durga said.
Medine lifted his bearded chin. "Not to you." Out of the corner of his eye, he saw the white light flicker of approaching ships. His heart swelled. They were coming to rescue him. The Hutt shrugged, rippling his fleshy shoulders.
"All right.
The guards who had brought Nadine before the hut scattered out of the way. Nadine was thrown backward into the metal wall as the killing beam burned through to his heart. The Millennium Falcon shot out of hyperspace bound for Yavin 4, loudly broadcasting identification beacons and transmitting an announcement that Luke Skywalker had come home. They plunged toward the jewel-green moon around the orange gas giant and nearly rammed into the superstar destroyer Nighthammer.
Whoa!
Han cried. Chewbacca grabbed the control, sending the Falcon spinning up and around past the kilometers-long superstar destroyer.
What the...
The Nighthammer continued to fire upon the jungle moon, but as soon as Han arrived, a few stray turbolaser blasts sliced across space toward them.
Chewie, take evasive.
The Wookiee was already one step ahead of him.
This is Admiral Dalla, commander of the Nighthammer. You will surrender immediately or be destroyed.
Han toggled the comm.
Dalla, you are such a pain.
Then he snapped it off. Dodging another burst of turbolaser bolts by flying in a figure eight past the Star Destroyer's targeting locks.
Han, stop showing off, Leia said.
A cloud of TIE fighters spilled out of the forward hangar decks of the Superstar Destroyer, swirling toward the Falcon.
Shields up!
Han turned back to Luke.
Boy, go away for a week or so and look what happens.
Two TIE fighters flew toward them, their laser cannon shots ricocheting off the full-power shields in front of the Falcon. Han punched his own laser cannons, clipped one of the TIE fighters, and sent it reeling out of control. The other screamed by without damage.
Go to the gunwale.
I'll take it, Luke responded.
I'll get in the other one, Leia said.
Luke climbed into the gunning seat and shouted to Han,
Zala's got more ships than we can handle. Don't stick around to fight them. Just get down to the moon.
Luke fired the laser cannons, and from below, Leia shot and hit another TIE fighter. The Millennium Falcon soared beneath the immense Nighthammer. A flurry of TIE fighters blocked their way, flying in tight formation as they shot a constant pattern of blasts. Han streaked toward them at full speed.
I see him. They'll move.
The Falcon forward shields began to weaken, but Han plunged onward. Luke and Leia continued shooting, taking out TIE fighters.
Please get out of the way, Han muttered.
At the last possible moment, the TIE fighters scrambled in such a pell-mell frenzy that two crashed into each other while the others spun out of control. The Falcon shot through the defensive formation and grazed the atmosphere of the jungle moon, diving toward the treetops.
We've got to land and see if the trainees are okay, Luke said. We can fight beside them.
Han looked around.
Well, maybe we can get them all aboard the Falcon and take them to safety.
Luke had a grim expression on his face. No insult to your piloting skills, Han, but if we evacuated the Jedi trainees on the Falcon, one lucky strike from Admiral Dalla's Star Destroyer would take out every last Jedi Knight in the New Republic. I can't risk that. We'll fight here. You can take off, go back and get help, or stay and fight against some of the ground battles. But the Jedi aren't leaving here.
Han set the Falcon down beside an Imperial shuttle in front of the Great Temple.
Forest fires raged nearby. Luke and Callista hurried toward the temple. The heavy, horizontal hangar door ground upward, and Kip Duran plodded out into the sunlight, bearing in his arms the limp, blackened body of Dorskitty One. Kip told them about Dorskitty One's heroic action. Callista looked at him.
We have no time to grieve now, she said gently.
He was a Jedi, Kip said. A Jedi Knight.
And so are you all, Luke said. Come on, we must defend the Academy to the best of our ability.
In the jungle, they heard more explosion, crashing noises, humming machinery as ground assault vehicles converged on their main target. Han gestured to Leia and Chewbacca.
Back to the Falcon. We'll break out our weapons.
He turned to Kip.
Come on, Kip. We're going to need you.
The Imperials will be here in a moment, Luke said to the Jedi trainees gathered in front of the Great Temple. If we can spread out in the jungle, we can hit them with guerrilla attacks.
We're Jedi Knights,
Kamsul Yusar added.
They're just Imperials.
Luke smiled at his confidence. Callista, maybe you should go with Han and Leia on the Falcon, where you'll be safer. She shook her head vigorously. Not on your life, I'm staying here with you. He smiled at her.
All right. I'll protect you with my Jedi powers. Just stay close.
The Jedi Knights fought on, as they had before Luke's arrival, using the Force to strike back at the Imperials. As Kip ran to join Han, who had already reached the Millennium Falcon, Callista followed Luke and Tian, who slipped behind the Great Temple into the thicker jungle, where more Imperials were massing. Callista felt anger and helplessness crippling her again. Luke had meant well when he said he would protect her, but unconsciously he had flaunted the fact that he had Jedi powers, and implied that she was helpless without them. She didn't want him to protect her, she wanted to do her own part. A huge piece of heavy assault machinery plowed its way through the jungle toward the temple. Luke gestured for them to follow, but Callista hung behind. He and Tian would work together, linking Jedi powers in a way that she could no longer share. Callista came to the dreaded realization that perhaps she had been unable to regain her powers because she was too close to Luke. He intimidated her with his own abilities, unconsciously emphasizing the fact that she had so little left. She and Luke were bonded, heart and spirit. But perhaps she needed to find her own strength again, so that she could join his. The Imperial Flying Fortress approached Luke and Tian. It hovered over an ancient deadfall where several giant Masasi trees had toppled during a storm. Luke recognized the immense vehicle. It was like an Imperial AT-AT walker, but without the legs, merely the armored body loaded with heavy weaponry. It cruised forward, heavy blaster cannons moving like rigid tentacles. Luke whispered to Tian, "Together, see that sharp tree stump? When the fortress flies over..." Tian nodded, and they waited as the low hum of repulsor lift drove the flying fortress over the ancient deadfall. Luke focused on the sharpened trunk. "Now!" Together they clubbed the dead tree with the Force, snapping the vines that coiled around it and heaving the massive trunk like an axe blade, crushing the flying fortress into an unrecognizable mass of smoldering armor plate. Luke and Tian leapt from their hiding place and clasped each other's hands in triumph. "See, Callista? We'll take care of them one by one." But when he turned to look behind him, he saw no sign of her. Callista had vanished into the thick jungle. Quizooks leaned forward and pointed just as Wedge began to discern the organized cluster of lights ahead of them. In the view screen, they saw the long cylindrical construction amid islands of hardened slag and discarded spare components. The hot weapon appeared to be complete and ready to move. Trailed by their three Corellian corvettes, the Yavaris and the Dodona approached the enormous Darksaber.
"They actually built it," Kui whispered. "I hope we're not too late."
So, it was all true, and the Huts got this far without us detecting them.
Wedge nodded grimly to the helmsman.
"But they won't get any farther."
Without ceremony, Durga's guards dragged Crix Medine's dead body off the Darksaber's command deck. Sitting imperiously on his levitating platform, Durga the Hutt issued commands to General Sulamar.
"Power up our engines. You will pilot us out of here. Now, my Darksaber is finished. Let us begin our sweep across the galaxy and begin collecting our due."
Upon hearing Durga's words, Bevel Lemelisk, who had been watching with interest as Durga dealt with Crix Medine, snapped out of his reverie.
You're not actually going to use this weapon. It's not yet tested. We need to verify all the subsystems and..."
"Nonsense, Chief Engineer. Your job is nearly finished. Don't try to prolong your usefulness. My Toril workers followed your own plans exactly. What could go wrong?"
He gestured to Sulamar.
"Go on, I told you. Move out."
Lemelis gradually backed toward the turbolift door as the bridge crew busied themselves preparing the superweapon for its maiden flight. He slipped into the turbolift and the elevator platform dropped rapidly down. In his private inspection bay, Lemelisk strutted over to the scooter he had used to watch the final construction of the great weapon, and climbed into the hatch. He strapped in and powered up the scooter, drifted through the atmosphere containment field, and away from the enormous weapon. Bevel Lemelisk would take his chances out in open space.
Battle stations!
Wedge Antilles cried. The hat weapon is moving out, the tactical officer said, stating the obvious as the cylindrical behemoth powered up its rear engines like a star exploding.
We won't let it escape.
Bad news, sir, the sensor chief said. We've lost the signal from General Medine's transmitter.
Wedge slumped in his seat.
Oh, no. If the transmitter is stopped, that means...
He sat up straight and gestured violently forward.
All weapons on full. We must not let them get away. The Yavaris and the Dodona will dive in directly. Corellian corvettes will target the weapon's main engines to slow it down. This time the Huts picked the wrong people to tangle with.
On the Darksaber's command deck, the Deveronian sensor chief squawked in alarm.
Lord Durga! Rebel fleet approaching! They're powering up weapons!
What?
Durga recoiled, blinking his lantern-like eyes.
They must have followed the rebel spy.
He turned to Sulemar.
Power up the superlaser. We'll blast the rebel fleet into space dust.
The rebel fleet came in as the Darksaber plowed ahead into the flying rubble of the asteroid belt, firing with all their weapons. The hundreds of turbolaser blasts struck home, peeling plates off the Darksaber's hull, rattling components loose. A series of unnerving noises grew louder deep within the engine core. Sulemar continued flying with grave trepidation. Durga would take out any mistakes on his hide. Up ahead, a pair of the largest rocks Durga had yet seen ground together, spinning about like granite jaws waiting for new prey. Durga raised his hand.
Get those asteroids out of our way! Fire the superlaser!
Sulemar punched down and covered his eyes to block the blinding glare of the deadly energy beam.
Firing now, sir!
But there was no scream of destruction and pulse of power through the superweapon. A fizzle of sparks splattered out the front end of the Darksaber, but nothing more.
Oh, no!
Sulemar punched the button again and again, but the Darksaber refused to fire. The two broken planetoids smashed together with the Hutt superweapon between them. The Darksaber was crushed in an instant, becoming yet another hunk of space debris that would float forever in the Hoth asteroid field.
Callista!
Luke called again, but she plunged on through the underbrush, not looking back. Up ahead in a flattened section of trees, broken branches, and plowed-up dirt, she spotted the crashed TIE bomber. Its pilot was working frantically. With a toolkit from the bomber's cockpit, he had straightened the exhaust crimp and test-fired the engines, moving silently with a smoothness born not from the Force, but her own training. Callista eased out of the thorny undergrowth and sprinted toward the TIE pilot. The pilot must have seen some flicker of motion, for he reacted with blinding speed, snatching a blaster from the holster at his side. Callista kept moving, picking up momentum as she held out her lightsaber and punched the power button. In a smooth stroke, she lopped off the pilot's black-gloved hand. Before he could cry out in pain, Callista struck sideways across his chest. She hauled herself up to the hatch and dropped into the cramped cockpit.
Callista! Callista!
Like a ghost, Luke's voice echoed through the trees, but she forced herself not to hear it. The dark ship rose slowly. Then the twin ion engines kicked in with a bone-chilling roar, and the TIE bomber curved up to where the atmosphere thinned, toward the Nighthammer.
I'm sorry.
And Callista continued on course. Callista headed toward the Nighthammer with all the speed she could muster.
A female voice came over the comm channel, a battle director requesting her identification and status. Callista disguised her lack of either by creating static with the controls.
This is TIE Bomber number... All of our Star Destroyers are gone. The Jedi Knights did something and the entire fleet wiped out.
State the extent of your damage.
Engine's failing. I think I'm leaking coolant or radiation. Can't be sure. Suggest you find an isolated bay where I can land. Evacuate it and feel down just in case something goes wrong. I'll check the leakage and report.
Acknowledged, TIE Bomber.
Callista continued drifting toward the Superstar Destroyer as the battle director gave her instructions on where to land. The Falcon roared away from the Great Temple, its white-hot sublight engines rippling across the sky. Han followed the lines of fire through the tree canopy below and saw scout walkers plodding through the thick trees, rolling ground assault vehicles, juggernauts, and flying fortresses. In the gunwales, Kip and Leia shot repeatedly, but they had a difficult time targeting through the mesh of branches.
Company from above! Leia shouted.
I see him, Kip said.
Both gunwales began firing. A squadron of TIE fighters soared overhead, either the remnants of Kalian's forces or a new wing deployed by Dala's Nighthammer.
These targets are more to my liking,
Han said, charging straight at the oncoming fleet. Chewbacca groaned in distress, and 3PO covered his optical sensors with his golden hands. But again, the bluffing trick worked, and the TIE fighters scrambled out of the way, firing crazily as they split apart. A river of fire seared through the atmosphere, ripping the air apart. The turbo laser bolt from orbit struck one of the TIE fighters, and it disintegrated. The shockwave buffeted the Falcon, making Han and Chewbacca scramble to regain control of the ship. The remaining TIE fighters were sent spinning. Another turbo laser bolt came down in the distance, igniting a portion of the jungle kilometers away. Han shook his head in disgust.
That's Dala. Doesn't even know what she's firing at.
Kip lowered himself in the gunwale, and the look of twisted determination on his face made Han shudder. Starsgate 1 sacrificed himself to get rid of the first Imperial fleet. We would all be safe now if not for Dala. She's the target I want to go after. 3PO stood up, indignant.
That would be a highly irrational course of action. The Millennium Falcon is no match for that Superstar Destroyer.
You're crazy, kid, Han said uncertainly. Kip shrugged. Just determined, and it's worked to my advantage before. Chewbacca growled his reservations, but Kip squatted beside Han.
Before I came to Yavin 4, Dorskate 1 and I sent an alarm to the New Republic fleet. Reinforcements should be on their way. I don't know how long they'll take, but we can't let Dala destroy everything before they get here.
Han thought of how Admiral Dala had strapped him in the torture chair of her Star Destroyer Gorgon.
Whatever you say, kid. Let's throw all our cards on the table and hope Dala doesn't see that we're bluffing.
The Falcon peeled through the outer skin of atmosphere and headed into the blackness of space. Above them, the Nighthammer lorded over the tiny jungle moon, a dark city in space, loaded with deadly weapons.
Punch it, Chewie!
The Falcon soared forward, heading directly toward the Nighthammer. Han keyed the comm.
Hello, Admiral Dala.
This is Han Solo, and I'm with my friend Kip Duran. Remember us? The Nighthammer stopped blasting the jungle moon and targeted the Falcon instead.
Let's get out of here, Chewie.
Han slammed back into his seat as acceleration hurled them away from the Nighthammer.
That was real smart, Leia said.
Or at least she stopped shooting at the Jedi Academy for a few minutes.
The forward bay doors opened on the Superstar Destroyer, and four squadrons of TIE fighters launched after the Millennium Falcon, firing repeatedly. The Falcon rocked and lurched. Han looked uneasily at their power levels, and though the Falcon fled at top speed, their shields were weakening drastically.
An unexpected volley of fire came from the side, blasting through the swarm of TIE fighters and sending them into confusion. Kip smiled.
It's our reinforcements.
Admiral Akbar's Galactic Voyager plunged into the system, flanked by four Corellian gunships. The Calamarian Star Cruiser stabbed through the clustered TIE fighters, wiping out half of them in its first pass. A few desperate stragglers fled back toward the Nighthammer, with twin ion engines coaxed to maximum power.
General Solo, is that you? You look as if you could use a bit of help.
It was Akbar. The Falcon was welcomed into the protected landing bay of Akbar's Star Cruiser just as Dalla opened fire on the Calamarian battleship. The four Corellian gunships continued to sweep space clean of TIE fighters, but the Nighthammer still outgunned their combined force.
The remainder of the New Republic fleet is coming to join us, Akbar said as Han, Leia, Chewbacca, and Kip stepped onto the bridge of the Galactic Voyager.
As the Calamarian starship and the four Corellian gunships wheeled about, increasing their distance from the Nighthammer, a wall of turbolaser fire appeared off to starboard. Akbar's shields were damaged, and one of the four Corellian gunships, taken completely by surprise, exploded beneath the Galactic Voyager. The reinforcements had arrived. Admiral Dalla's reinforcements.
Keep firing!
Akbar shouted.
Status report!
One of the Calamarian tactical officers reported.
Three Victory class ships destroyed, Admiral, but we only have one of our Corellian gunships remaining.
The Victory class fleet fired and fired upon the Galactic Voyager, and Admiral Dalla's Nighthammer shot at them with even greater power from the opposite side. On the bridge, Han gripped Leia's hand. They stared out at the overwhelming tide of battle. Akbar continued to hold his command together, while Kip Duran leaned forward, his eyes full of unfocused determination.
Shields failing, Admiral. Approximately 10 seconds remaining.
Admiral Akbar's ship sat practically defenseless, without shields, in the midst of the deadly enemy fleet. Vice Admiral Pelion had no idea what had happened to him. One moment, he and his 17 star destroyers were in orbit around the jungle moon of Yavin, engaged in their carefully planned assault, encountering resistance, but nothing they couldn't obliterate with another sortie or two. And then they found themselves hurled across space. Pelion coughed and wiped blood from the corner of his mouth. His crew grumbled and glanced at each other in perplexity. Pelion clutched the bridge rail, forcing himself not to slump with dismay.
Check the status of all our remaining star destroyers. I want full repairs on our hyperdrives as soon as possible. For now, proceed back to the Yavin system at full sublight power.
But, sir, that'll take weeks, the helmsman said.
Pelion looked at him, cold and calm.
In the meantime, we'll calculate micro-jumps, by hand if necessary, even without the navicomputer. We must get back to Yavin 4.
The Nighthammer's fully loaded TIE bomber bay was like a trap waiting to be sprung. And as Callista landed her hijacked damaged ship among the other bombers, she vowed to trigger all the destructive energy just waiting here for her. All the pilots had been evacuated because of her warning of a leaking engine core, but investigators would come soon. She had to hurry. She code-locked the bay's access door from the outer corridors to ensure her privacy. Then she sprinted back to her damaged TIE bomber and opened the armament reserves. Callista pointed the leftover missiles from the TIE bomber directly toward the armored wall at the far end of the bay. She set the missiles' timers for automatic launch. Then she raced to the next TIE bomber and opened up its launcher, fiddling with the full rack of concussion missiles. Callista raced from bomber to bomber, setting each store of missiles on target, diverting a few to strike the fuel tanks of other bombers in the bay. With all the charges set, Callista locked the access door behind her and raced along the corridor, finding an empty transport tube that shot her along the inner hull, away from where the deadly explosions would occur. She knew she had no hope for her own escape. She accepted that but she wanted to face Admiral Dalla, look in her eyes, and strike the Admiral down with her own two hands. Admiral Dalla watched the last of the battle unfold toward its inevitable conclusion, and she stood back and smiled. According to her readings, the rebel defenses had practically been exhausted, shields failing. A dark-haired young lieutenant rushed up to her.
Admiral, good news from the sensor station. We've located Vice Admiral Pelion's fleet.
Where?
They're on the edge of the Yavin system, Admiral, making their way here as fast as they can. We've established communications.
What happened to them? Did they suffer engine problems all at once? The lieutenant shook his head.
No, Admiral, it's very strange. The Jedi Knights physically hurled them out of the system with their sorcery.
At that moment, the rear portion of the Superstar Destroyer exploded, tearing out all the Nighthammer's engine systems. As the first wave of explosions reached the containment wall, other timers went off and more missiles flew, erupting through the blast craters or streaking sideways to detonate the fuel tanks of other TIE bombers, which in turn blew up in an enormous expanding concussion. The bridge tower shuddered with the blow. Power went out, leaving the command station bathed in red emergency lights. Dalla was thrown to the floor.
What was that? Status report! I want power back on now!
The lieutenant hauled himself up to a station and punched up a summary in the bloody glow of emergency lights. He looked stricken with horror.
Admiral, there have been massive explosions in the engine compartments. We're on fire! Life support has failed. Toxic and radioactive waste pouring into the habitable decks. Our rear bomber bays are all ruined.
How could this happen?
Several of the Victory-class Star Destroyers broke off their pursuit of Akbar's ship. The comm system squawked.
Nighthammer! Nighthammer, please respond! Your ship is in flames!
As five of the Victory Star Destroyers continued to pursue the rebels, firing recklessly, the rest of the New Republic fleet suddenly appeared in front of them. Scores of assault frigates, Corellian corvettes, five more Mon Calamari Star Cruisers, Lorinar Strike Cruisers, Carrick-class gunships, an overwhelming force. Dalla thought fast. She had to be realistic, not allow her fury and outrage to muddy her thoughts. She had to think of the future of the Empire, not her personal vendetta. Revenge would come later. She still had Pelion's fleet. She still had numerous Victory-class ships. More and more great battle cruisers were being built in the Imperial shipyard. This was merely a setback. Her only chance was to escape and reach Pelion. She sounded her own alarm and bellowed into the intercom systems.
This is Admiral Dalla. I am ordering an immediate evacuation of this Superstar Destroyer. All personnel, abandon ship. There are Victory-class Star Destroyers here to pick us up, and Vice Admiral Pelion's fleet is on its way, but this ship is going down.
The crew gave their commander one last look, then fled into the corridors to the evacuation pods.
Abandon ship!
Dalla stood alone at her command station, like a captain dutifully about to go down with her ship. But she had no intention of letting it end there. Dalla went to her spacious ready room and its private compartments that held escape pods keyed to command-level personnel only. She stopped when she saw a lone person waiting for her. A woman. A Jedi Knight, holding up a lightsaber blade.
I've been waiting for you, Admiral Dalla, Callista said.
Dalla's face contorted in fury.
I don't believe this! Jedi vermin everywhere I turn!
She stalked forward.
You can't stop me!
Callista stood her ground in front of the access hatches to the escape pods. I need only delay you. That will be enough. All that mattered to Callista was that she stopped Dalla from escaping and wreaking more destruction on the New Republic. If she confronted the shadowy temptation, Callista could use the Force again. The dark side of it, the easy abilities. The strength that grew stronger because of itself, not because of any innate qualities within its wielder. Admiral Dalla whipped out a blaster pistol from its holster at her hip. Callista needed the Force to avoid the deadly bolt. With no choice, she let herself go. In a fraction of a second, using the lightsaber as an extension of herself, Callista struck defensively. Dala shot four times, but in each instance, Callista let the force flow through her, allowing the dark side to guide her actions. Flaring with anger, she struck right and left, deflecting Dala's beams.
The force is more powerful than you are, Dala.
Callista felt the frightening strength surging within her, growing more and more powerful. She tried to back away from the dark side, to free herself before its grip became too strong. Dala ceased firing, but only for an instant, as she switched the setting to stun. This time, the beam was not a discrete bolt of power, but outspreading arcs of blue energy. Callista raised the lightsaber to deflect the stun blast, but the paralyzing energy rippled around her and hammered her to the floor. Her lightsaber short-circuited, flashed out, and Callista crumpled into blackness. The jungle battles continued to rage, but the Imperial ground assault vehicles began to lose their momentum as the Jedi Knights formed a brutal guerrilla defense, destroying scout walkers, juggernauts, and flying fortresses. Most of the TIE fighters and bombers had been knocked out of the sky by force-hurled projectiles.
Callista,
Luke whispered longingly, knowing she could not hear him. But then he looked up into the sky, and suddenly he felt her through the force, like a door opening to let in a ray of light. His gaze fixed on the black silhouette of the doomed superstar destroyer. It was in flames, plunging into the gas giant Yavin. A few straggler life pods sprayed out in all directions as the crew evacuated. And Luke knew, with a clawing dread, that Callista somehow had gone up there.
No! Callista, no!
With a final series of explosions that ignited the clouds, the Night Hammer vanished into Yavin, swallowed up forever, and taking Callista with it. Shortly after the destruction of the Night Hammer, most of the Victory-class Star Destroyers fled back to their rendezvous in the core systems. Pelion's fleet waited, a distant threat, but able to do nothing.
"We've detected one more escape pod, Vice Admiral," the sensor chief said.
Pelion's heart leapt.
"Haul it into our forward bay. I'm going down to meet it."
Before Pelion could open the hatch, though, the command-level pod popped open, and Admiral Dala climbed out. Her face was smeared with soot. Her olive-gray uniform had been torn and stained. Blood smeared one cheek. Pelion's knees nearly buckled with relief. Dala would know what to do. She could give orders to straighten out the Imperial fleet. She stood up slowly.
"Vice Admiral Pelion, in light of this disaster, I hereby resign my rank and hand over command of the Imperial forces to you."
She waited rigidly at attention, and Pelion returned her salute. X-Wing fighters dumped clouds of plasma in a diffuse banner high in the Coruscant twilight. The ionized gases shone with bright colors, celebrating another victory against the Empire and honoring those who had died in the recent battles. For Crix Medine's memorial service, Luke Skywalker waited beside Leia and Han Solo, but his mind was far away. He felt as if he was continually denied a facet of his humanity. Had becoming a Jedi cut him off forever from the normal joys and loves other humans experienced? He hadn't realized the cost would be so high. As Leia stepped to the makeshift podium, the New Republic Honor Guard snapped to attention. Luke glanced at the heavily decorated heroes of the recent Imperial onslaught. His old friend Wedge Antilles stood with new medals pinned to his chest, and beside him the ethereal scientist Queezoox blinked her indigo eyes, as if once again amazed to be the center of attention. She and Wedge had both been amazed when they had picked up the tiny craft bearing Bevel Lemelisk, the scientist she had worked with to construct the Death Star. Admiral Ackbar wore his bright white uniform, riding high as commander of the New Republic fleet.
The X-Wings overhead finished their run and streaked off to battle stations in orbit defending the capital world. Leia began to speak. "We are here to celebrate another victory and to acknowledge its cost. Once again, the Empire has attempted to overthrow the rightful government of the galaxy, and once again, they have failed. We will always defeat them, because we have the light on our side. May the Force be with you." Luke returned to Yavin 4, intending to throw himself entirely into his duties as a Jedi Master. When he clambered out of his X-Wing, he was greeted by Kip Duran.
"Welcome back, Master Skywalker. We knew you'd come soon."
Luke nodded. "I've got to help pick up the pieces here. The search for Jedi Knights continues." In his quarters, Luke found a sealed message cylinder on his sleeping pallet. He took out the cylinder, pulled out the data shaft, and inserted the components together so that they played. The image formed in front of him, and Luke gasped.
"Callista!"
He couldn't tell how long ago this had been recorded. She seemed weak and haggard, but with a new kind of inner strength.
"Hello, Luke. The first thing you need to know is that I'm not dead. Sorry if I frightened you. There was no way for me to get back. I barely got away from the Superstar Destroyer in one of the last escape pods before the entire ship crashed into Yavin. Once I escaped, I realized that I could not come back to you, not yet. I'm sorry, Luke. The Jedi powers are closer to me now, but they are not yet within my grasp. The wall of the dark side blocks me from them. I'm afraid I'll be tempted again if I work too closely with you, because when I'm with you, Luke, I want so much to have my powers back that I'm willing to do almost anything. I can't risk that."
"No, Callista," he whispered to her image. "Please.
I have to go on my own odyssey. I'm confident that I can discover my powers. I promise I'll be back, if ever I can prove myself worthy of the great Jedi Master I love."
Her gray eyes were wide and bright and strong.
"We will be together in time, Luke. And there is a lot of time in the universe."
Her image winked off. He reached out as if to capture just one more second with her, but she was gone.
His heart was in turmoil. Callista was alive.
But he had still lost her. For now. Luke stepped outside the great temple in the waning afternoon. The other Jedi Knights worked around him, busy at their activities. He gazed up at the huge orange planet of Yavin and reached across space with his thoughts, telling Callista of his love and of his hope that her search would someday be successful.
"There is a lot of time in the universe, and we'll be together in time. You and I, Callista," he whispered.
The new Jedi Knights continued their work, linked together in the Force, and Luke Skywalker went out to join them.
This is Anthony Heald. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Star Wars: Dark Saber by Kevin J. Anderson. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Lars Howell. Abridgment by Trevi Johnson. Dark Saber is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, copyright 1995, all rights reserved. The book Star Wars: Dark Saber is available wherever Bantam books are sold.